Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachariyam. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Kunjabihari.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramhamsa Pariva Jekacharya Surasata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charner Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Seka Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichan and Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiti Gaurav Vipra Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Chamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Gangamai Ki Jai Shri Jamanamai Ki Jai Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Their Lordship Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai, Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Their Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Their Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishinga Dev Ki Jai, Their Lordship Sri 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 Jagannath Baladev Sabhadra Devi Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Iskcon Ratha Yatra Festivals Ki Jai, Nitya Gaur Premanandi, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Vishnu So, I want to welcome all of you to our Snan Yatra festival. And because our time is pretty short, we'll just give some very brief descriptions. We won't go into much details. So, among the items of devotional service that Srila Prabhupada came to establish, there are a few main, like the chanting of the holy names, the distribution of mass distribution of literature, establishment of temples, worship of the deities, and the worship of Lord Jagannath through Ratha Yatra festivals. So why is the Ratha Yatra festival so important? Well, we can discuss that a little bit. In the Skanda Puran, when Markandeya Rishi, who was a sage, that he got a boon that he would live 7 lifetimes of Lord Brahma. So even after the devastation at the end of the Kalpas, he still remains alive, floating in the causal ocean. So long story short, he was invited to Nilachala Dham, where he met the Lord, Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath told him that this form of mine is reserved specifically for the people of Kali Yuga. That's why in our scriptures you don't find a lot of information of Lord Jagannath. Just like you don't find a lot of information there in the Bhagavatam or Lord Chaitanya either. But these two manifestations, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath, are specifically reserved, specifically for the people of Kali Yuga. So it so happened that when Krishna left Vrindavan, he went to Dwarka after Mathura. And when he went to Dwarka, he took two of his three mothers there with him. So his first mother, Mother Devaki, she came with him to Dwarka. And Mother Yashoda, she left back in Vrindavan. And his third mother, Mother Rohini, she also came with him to Dwarka. So when Krishna was there in Dwarka, as we all know, he established himself as the king, and he had so many queens, and they were all serving him so very nicely. But something strange was going on, that Krishna would get into different moods, and sometimes in his dreams, he would talk about his Vrindavan pastimes. And these queens, who were very much trained to serve their husband, for they were all trained by Draupadi. As we all know, Draupadi had five husbands, so she was very expert in satisfying them. So all these queens, they were very expert. But still, it appears as though Krishna was missing something, or something was missing somewhere. So one day, they all gathered and tried to find out what is so special about these Vrindavan pastimes that Krishna gets so caught up in, get in so much ecstasy. So they knew they couldn't have asked Mother Devaki, because she never was there in Vrindavan to see and witness Krishna's childhood pastimes. But Mother Rohini was there. And with all, Mother Yashoda was the household mother of Krishna in his childhood pastimes. Apparently, she wasn't able to witness so much of Krishna's pastimes because she was always in this ecstasy and this rapt attention in Krishna, that sometimes she would faint, sometimes she would get in so much ecstasy that she wouldn't be conscious of anything else that's going on. She would just be conscious of Krishna. So much so that sometimes Mother Rohini had to go and drag her back when Krishna was going to the pasturing grounds. She would be running behind him, and Krishna had to tell, oh, Rohini Maya, just take Yashoda Maya back home. So she would have to come and drag her every day and bring her back home. So in that sense, like Mother Rohini, she was able to witness more of Krishna's pastimes because she wasn't so absorbed in that kind of ecstasy that Mother Yashoda was. So they all made a plan that Mother Rohini would describe all these pastimes that Krishna performed in Vrindavan, but only one condition, that Krishna and Balaram cannot hear of these pastimes. If not, they would fall in so much ecstasy and there would be problems. So they decided that when Krishna and Balaram would be in their Sudharma assembly hall conducting their managerial duties, the queens would assemble in a different hall far away, and then they can discuss, they can hear all of these pastimes, what is causing Krishna to get so enwrapped in these Vrindavan Leela. So they have assigned Subhadra Devi to be a doorkeeper, that she should block the door so that Krishna and Balaram don't enter this hall, which also become another problem. So when Krishna and Balaram was there discussing their managerial affairs with the kingdom, Mother Rohini starts describing all these pastimes. So Subhadra Devi was there at the door, and she put her two hands out blocking the entrance so no one can pass, especially Krishna and Balaram. But these pastimes are so sweet and enchanting that she herself fell in ecstasy and got lost in these pastimes and forgot what she was supposed to be doing there. So Krishna and Balaram, being the omniscient lords, understood that their pastimes were being told. So immediately they left the assembly hall and they went to follow to hear of these pastimes, because that kind of gets them in ecstasy. So when they came, they saw Subhadra Devi with her two hands blocking the doorway. And they came and stood. Lord Krishna stood to her left side and Lord Balaram to her right side. And when they went there, Subhadra Devi was already in this ecstasy. So she wasn't conscious, and she was, her, because of the ecstasy, her body starts to shrivel up. And when Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram starts hearing their childhood pastimes, they fell in the same ecstasy as well. They're starting to get in ecstasy, or their body starts changing, start retracting like a tortoise, or the arms start retracting, the eyes open really big in this really ecstatic mood. And as usual, our dear Narad Muni always comes up at the opportune moment. Whenever their height of things, throughout the Vedic literatures, you always hear of Narad Muni, always there, just in the nick of time to escalate Krishna's pastimes. So there Narad appeared. And as soon as he appeared, Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra Devi came back to their external consciousness. And so then Narad said, I have seen this form of yours. That throughout the universes that he has traveled, he has never seen this form before. But now he has seen this special form. And can you show it again? So then Krishna says, in the course of time, that this form is specifically meant for a certain time, place, and circumstance, that we would manifest this form. So, with that being said, and as coincided with the Skanda Puran, the Lord manifested this form of as Lord Jagannath. Also, there was one time, there was a pastime with Narad Muni, that he went to the Vaikuntha planets and he wanted to taste Lord Vishnu's Mahaprasadam. So at that time, Mahaprasad wasn't very readily available as it is now. It was very difficult to get the Lord's Mahaprasadam. So Narad went, and as usual, you know, when a child wants to get something from the father, what does he do? He go and coax the mother, right? You go and sweet talk your mom and go there, and then she becomes affectionate, and eventually she's the one who goes and asks the father for whatever desires you have. So Narad Muni did the same thing. He went and he starts doing service to Lakshmi Devi. And he did that for 12 years. So then Lakshmi Devi said, you know, this is a little strange of you being here for so long. As we all know, Narad Muni just travels all the time. He never stays one place, whether in the spiritual world or in the material world. He never stays one place for very long, at very short intervals, and he keeps moving on. So then Lakshmi Devi said, there is something that you want, I know. Then he said, yes. And she said, well, let me know and I'll fulfill your desires. So then Narad Muni said, well, I would like to get a taste of Lord Vishnu's Mahaprasadam. So that put Lakshmi Devi in a different predicament, because Lord Vishnu had particularly instructed that she should not give his Mahaprasad to anyone. So she had already promised without finding out what exactly Narada wants. And throughout the Vedic scriptures, we find from time and again, devotees or demigods or different officials, they would make promises. Oh, I'll give you anything you want, let me know, when they're pleased with your service, without finding out what that wish is. Even sometimes within our movement, I find that happens. On many occasions, I promise devotees, and when they ask me, you know, it's very difficult to fulfill it. So I kind of learned to hold my brakes up a little bit, you know, to say, well, I'll try, you know, let me know what you want and I'll try. So anyway, Lakshmi Devi fell in this predicament. So she's thinking now, how can I fulfill my promise to Narad, at the same time, don't displease my husband? So one day she wound up her courage and she went to Lord Vishnu and explained to him what she has done. So Lord Vishnu says, well, I warned you, I instructed, and you broke that promise. But I'll help you. So I know generally the husband always goes around to the desire of the wife. You know, it's a normal thing. It looks like it started with Lord Vishnu, you know. As long as the charm is there, then their desires are fulfilled. So he said that you can do this, but we'll make an arrangement that I'll turn my back away. I will not be conscious. I won't see what you're doing. And that way you can give Narad some Mahaprasad. So that plan was executed when Lord Vishnu turned his back. Lakshmi Devi gave Narad some Mahaprasadam. One palmful. And so when Narad took that Mahaprasadam, he fell in ecstasy and he starts dancing and chanting. And he starts roaming around in the universe. He starts dancing and chanting and he forgot to even wash his hands after eating. So he was roaming around the universe. And he came to Kailash, where his dear friend Lord Shiva was residing with his wife Parvati Devi. So he was dancing and dancing. So then Lord Shiva, you know, said, wait a minute. I've never seen you in this kind of a mood and ecstasy. What's going on here? I'm your dear friend. You know, please explain to me. So Narad, still in his ecstasy, explained what happened, that he got some of Lord Vishnu's Mahaprasadam. And this brought him to this ecstatic trance that he can't control himself. So Lord Shiva said, well, wait a minute. What a friend you are, huh? I thought you were my good friend. Where is my Mahaprasadam? Where is my share? Narad said, uh-oh. I didn't even thought about you, you know. Sometimes, you know, we have a good friend we would like to share. But he didn't do that because in his ecstasy, he forgot everything about his dear friend, Lord Shiva. So then, Lord Shiva wasn't too happy with that his dear friend Narad got Mahaprasad and didn't share with him. So then Narad came back a little bit to his external consciousness and looked at his hands. He saw his hands were still dirty from the Mahaprasad, and just by the nail there was like one speck, one grain of Mahaprasad left. So he said, oh, look, I have some here. You can have this. So Lord Shiva took that Mahaprasad and he started dancing in ecstasy. So when Narad was dancing, that was okay. But when Lord Shiva starts dancing, it became a great problem for the universe. Because he was dancing and dancing and trampling and the earth was shaking. And then everyone came and starts complaining to Parvati Devi. He said, something is wrong with your husband. It's not time for universal destruction, but he's doing his dance. And if you don't do something about it, then we would sure to reach destruction. So Parvati Devi, she's the mother of the universe. All of us are her children. So she decided to go and see what's going on with her husband, why he got so crazy all of a sudden. So she went there and she tried to draw his attention and finally got his attention, got him out of his ecstasy and find out what's happening. So then he described, well, Narad Muni gave me some Mahaprasadam. And boy, that was the problem. You know, they said that the wife is the better half of the husband, right? So Parvati Devi said, well, I'm the better half. Where is my share of that Mahaprasadam? And Lord Shiva realized, uh-oh, there are big problems here. He said, well, he doesn't have any, just got his one morsel. And Parvati Devi got extremely angry, very, very angry. She got so angry, so much so that Lord Vishnu himself came to appease her. So Lord Vishnu said, you know, my dear Parvati Devi, what's the problem? He said that my husband, Lord Shiva, he didn't share your Mahaprasad with me, and I'm his wife, I'm the better half, and therefore, you know, something is not right. So Lord Vishnu said, don't worry, I'll give you Mahaprasadam. So then she said, no, that's not good enough. I'm not only asking for Mahaprasad for myself, but I want for all my children, everyone in this universe, they're all my children. I want that you grant them Mahaprasadam also. So Lord Vishnu said, yes, I'll do that. I'll come in this special form as Lord Jagannath, and I'll distribute profusely Mahaprasadam. So then after Narad left, after everything was settled, Lord Vishnu also indicate that not only that I'll come as Lord Jagannath, but I'll come as a combination of Radha and Krishna, as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, to distribute widely Mahaprasad and the holy names, Mahaprasadam in different forms. So with that being said, everyone was appeased, and Narad went back. Lord Shiva and Parvati, they made up. Everything was settled. So Narad went back to the spiritual world he was traveling, and when he came back to the material world, a lot of time had passed, and he saw that everyone has gotten very degraded, the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Short memory, short-lived, always disturbed, quarrelsome, not much piety. And Narad became very worried, and he was depressed. So in that mood, he heard his voice. Lord Jagannath said, oh, Narad, I'm here. How can you be depressed when I'm here? That come to Nilachala and we'll discuss what your problems are, that I'm here residing. So Narad went to Nilachala, which is Jagannath Puri, and he met Lord Jagannath, and he explained about the people of Kali Yuga, how they're suffering. So Lord Jagannath said, don't you remember when we had the other pastimes with Parvati Devi and Lord Shiva, that I promised that I would come. I would come as Gauranga, and I would come as Jagannath, and the two of us combined will distribute Mahaprasad to the entire world. So even great devotees like Narad, sometimes they forget the, you know, the large predictions and pastimes. So if we forget sometimes, you know, it's not such a big deal. Because even Narad forgot. So he reminded Narad, and he said, now is the time you go and invite Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that now is the time that he should manifest and come. So this is the beginning of how Lord Chaitanya came, by the instruction of Lord Jagannath and the invitation of Narad Muni, his great devotee. So anyway, back in the Jagannath Puri temple, if anyone ever went there, we were fortunate enough to go into the temple. And you have the main temple of Lord Jagannath, and then outside, just outside, there's a temple of Bhimala, Parvati Devi. And then outside in the courtyard, there are other temples. But before that, the system was that you had the main temple, Lord Jagannath's temple, and when the prasadam comes out after the offering, just outside, just the next temple you would reach was the temple of Lord Shiva. And then outside of that would be Parvati Devi's temple. So then beyond that, you have the temples, other temples are there. So whenever Jagannath's prasad would come out, it would come first to Lord Shiva's temple. And then after that, it would go to Parvati Devi and to the other temples. But something strange was happening. After the Mahaplate left Lord Shiva's temple, it was kind of empty. I don't know how much of you ever, like even Srila Prabhupada's time, sometimes when Srila Prabhupada finished taking prasad, whatever leftovers, you know, there would be a fight outside to get the Mahaprasad and if their gurus prasadam. I know in our days, those things happen. So much so that some devotees got hurt. So, fighting for that. So anyway, so yet again, Lord Shiva did the same thing, the same injustice to his wife, Parvati Devi, that when the Mahaprasadam, Mahaplate came up from Lord Jagannath's altar, came into his temple, he ate everything, and nothing was left for Parvati Devi and the others. So again, Parvati Devi was wondering, what's going on here? Every day, Lord Jagannath is eating all the prasadam, everything, nothing's left, is being left over. So then she inquired, and the pujari said, no, there's always a lot of leftovers. And after it goes to Lord Shiva, he took everything and nothing else is left. So again, Parvati Devi got really angry. And she prayed to Lord Jagannath that you promised to distribute Mahaprasad, please do something about it. So then Lord Jagannath understood what's going on. So he said, okay, this is what is happening, so therefore, I'll kick Lord Shiva out. So, and Bimala Devi, you can come next to me. So now if you go in Jagannath's temple, you're going to see the main temple is there, just outside is the temple of Bimala Devi, who is Parvati Devi. And thus that's how Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj got his name Bimala Prasad, because of Bimala Devi. That's a whole another pastime. You can talk another day. So, now, he promised that from my plate, then you would get that prasad. And when after you have eaten that prasad, then it becomes more of a Mahaprasad. And then it's being distributed to everyone. So from then, that's a system in Jagannath Puri. From Lord Jagannath to Parvati Devi, Bimala, and then it distributes to everyone. And Lord Jagannath instructed that my Mahaprasadam should be distributed to everyone freely without discrimination. Despite what caste you're in, what category you're in, you should get Mahaprasadam very freely, no restrictions. And it's described there that even the Mahaprasad that is being eaten by a dog, one can take that, even a Brahman can take that remnants because it's never contaminated. So it's special mercy. So this legacy is established there for the distribution of Mahaprasad. And Lord Chaitanya came, as we all know, Lord Chaitanya had his followers and he sent the Goswamis to Vrindavan to establish the lost places of Vrindavan and to reestablish the temples, the worship of Lord Krishna. But where did he himself go? For the last 18 years of his life, as we all know, Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri to perform Rath Yatra and to worship Lord Jagannath. So there is something very significant about that. Yes, he's here to establish the Yuga Dharma. So, as we know, Krishna, Lord Jagannath is Krishna himself, and Lord Chaitanya is the combination of Radha and Krishna. And the import of this Rath Yatra festival is where the gopis they came to Kurukshetra and wanted to bring Krishna back into their hearts, bring him back into Vrindavan. So they were personally pulling the Lord back to Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya was there as the combination of Krishna and Radharani, and as a devotee in the mood of Radharani, worshipping Lord Krishna, who is none other than Lord Jagannath. So this special relationship is there. So he came to establish that mood. And that's one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada was so adamant about the establishment of Rath Yatras throughout, to give this mass distribution of mercy and Mahaprasad to everyone, with no discrimination, any part of the world, any place. So this year marks the 51st year since Srila Prabhupada established Rath Yatras in the West. Last year, 2017, was the half century, the 50th anniversary. Rath Yatra started in 1967 in San Francisco on the back of a flatbed truck, and now we're seeing hundreds and hundreds, pretty much all over the world going on. So this is a special legacy that Srila Prabhupada came to establish. So it's a very important festival that we are performing, and we want to encourage all of you to take this pretty seriously. So Lord Jagannath also established very nice relationship and pastimes with his devotees. As we all know, or if we don't, Lord Jagannath is called Bhavagrahi, Bhavagrahi Janardana. That means, Bhavagrahi means that he accepts the mood of his devotees. And he let them, allow them to establish that relationship with him through their mood. This is the only manifestation of the Lord, pretty much, that allows the devotee to do that. So there are many stories, many, many pastimes of Lord Jagannath and his devotees that does that. One devotee, he was a worshiper of Ganesh. And he heard of Lord Jagannath. So everyone is saying that, come and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. So he said, okay, he's going to come and take darshan. So when he came, he saw Lord Jagannath in this form, as we know him here. But he had his vision that my Lord, he has an elephant head, he has his long tusk. So when he came and he saw Lord Jagannath like this, he said, he can't be God, because my God has an elephant tusk. So he was walking away, because that was his concept and vision, that the Lord has this form. So when he was walking away disappointed, Lord Jagannath actually left the altar and went behind him and said, please come back here. I'll show you that, yes, your Ishtadev, your worshipable form, me, has this form that you desire to see. So when he came back, he saw Lord Jagannath in this form with the elephant tusk and dressed like this. So therefore, it's the tradition, the day before Rath Yatra, they have this big Snan Yatra festival, bathing of Lord Jagannath again, and he's wearing this Hathi Vesha, the cloth, the dress, the elephant dress, in reciprocation to this one devotee. There's also, I'll tell one more pastime, there are many, many more, and I've just been like really condensing them because of time constraint. One time there was a king of Puri named Purushottam Dev. He was young, he wasn't married, a young prince, but he was the king. And he was once invited by the king of Kanchi, Kanchipuram, to go and visit. So when he went there, he saw the princess of Kanchi, Padmavati, and at first sight the two of them got a liking of each other. So being thus recognized, the king of Kanchi decided to make an arrangement to offer his daughter in marriage to this pious king. They heard he's a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. So anyway, this arrangement was made, and Purushottam Dev came back to Jagannath Puri, came back to his duties. So it was this custom that the parents of the girl would come to the boy's establishment or the boy's parents and to make a formal request and an arrangement like that. So the king of Kanchi, he sent his minister to come to make this arrangement for his daughter with Purushottam Dev. So when he came, he was very satisfied. The king was very wealthy, well-established, very devoted to Lord Jagannath. And he was about to leave when Purushottam Dev said, you know what, why don't you stay on a few more days? Because we're going to have the Rath Yatra festival. So it's very festive, and you can witness this festival and then go back to Kanchipuram. So he said, okay. The minister said, okay, fine, I'll stay. So he stayed, and on the day of the Rath Yatra, as the custom, the king would be having the broom sweeping the path for Lord Jagannath to go. So when he saw Purushottam Dev was sweeping, this minister was saying, wait a minute, He's a king, and he's doing this low class, this chandala work, this bangi, this street sweeper. In his mind, he doesn't understand the importance, because the king of Kanchi, they were worshipping Ganesh. So he doesn't understand the importance of this worship. And the king taking this role as a street sweeper, a bangi, a chandala duty. So he said, no way, we can't marry our princess to this street sweeper. So he went back and told the king, in his words, in his way, you know, generally, like, if you're convincing enough, you can convince anyone of your version to be the truth. So he convinced the king of Kanchi that don't marry your daughter to that guy. You know, he's a street sweeper. You know, you don't want to belittle your daughter like that. She's a princess. So then the king became convinced, and he sent a message to Purushottam Dev that, you know what, this wedding is off. You're a street sweeper. You're not a king. We can't. No, no. So he arranged a swayamvar to get a suitable bride for his daughter without inviting Purushottam Dev. So Purushottam Dev became a little enraged. He said, oh, you know, that's the way it's going to go down. So I'll teach you a lesson. So he challenged him to a war. You know, in Vedic times, it's very easy to get into a brawl, you know. So he challenged him. So Purushottam Dev went with his army. And lo and behold, so anyway, they made a condition that, okay, we're going to have this war. And the result of this war would be that if I, the king of Kanchi, wins, then I'll take your Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra and put them behind my Ganesh deity. So they're going to be subordinate to Lord Ganesh. And similarly, if you win, Purushottam Dev, you'll have the right to take my worshipable deity, Ganesh, and put it behind your Jagannath deities. So that being said, they went to war, and lo and behold, Purushottam Dev lost. So his camp was set afire and he lost. So when he came back, he's worried now that now he has his worshipable deity would have to go and stay behind Ganesh and be subordinate to Ganesh worship. So Lord Jagannath came and in his dream and said, don't worry, that go and challenge him to fight again, and this time I'll go personally to help you. So he went back, he got up in ecstasy, and he went back and challenged the king of Kanchi again. So when he challenged him, they decided to go to war, and this time the whole army was marching down, but in front there were two soldiers, one black one on a black horse and one white one on a white horse was going up. And as they were going, they finally figure out, well, this is Krishna and Balaram. There were some pastimes that happened between that, but we will skip that. So Krishna and Balaram disguised as soldiers, and they went and they defeated the king. So when they defeated the king, Purushottam Dev, being a Kshatriya of Kshatriya blood, you know, you like to take revenge or you like to do something. So he said, not only that I'll take your Ganesh and put it behind my Jagannath, but I'll also take your daughter. I'll take your daughter. So he called his minister. He said, take this princess, Padmavati, and you bring her to our kingdom. And you marry her to a bangi, a street sweeper. Because if that's what the king is trying to avoid, I'll prove to him that I'll marry, you know, I'll get his daughter married to this street sweeper. So anyway, being a minister, he was very smart. So he brought the princess and he kept her in his home. All the while the princess was crying and being very worried that now I'll have to be married to this low-class bangi. So then next year, Ratayatra came around. And on Ratayatra day, the minister told his wife, dress this girl like a bride in all the opulences you can find, and we're going to get her married. So the wife was thinking, you know, on Ratayatra day, you're gonna arrange the wedding? He said, yes, you don't worry about it. But all the while, Purushottam Dev, he was hurt that this princess who he loves so much and would like to be his wife, this whole turn of events happened that now he can't get her to marry. So as smart as the minister is, he made this arrangement. So he told his wife, I want you to dress her nicely and bring her to the Ratayatra. And then I'm going to fulfill the king's desire to marry her to a bangi, the street sweeper. So as the ratayatra session starts, the king starts sweeping the road. And then he came, he said, bring this princess Padmavati here. And he came, he said, oh my lord Purushottam Dev, you ordered me to marry her to a bangi. So now you're a bangi, you're a street sweeper. Please accept her as your wife. So at that time, Purushottam Dev became very, very happy. So Lord Jagannath arranged, all of this was done by Lord Jagannath's arrangement that Purushottam Dev get his desire fulfilled. And all the promises were fulfilled that he's marrying this girl as a street sweeper, as a bangi. So then they had nice wedding arrangements and so on and so forth. It went on. So there are many more pastimes, but I would like to stop here. We want to go on for some announcements, tell you more about the Ratayatra festivals, and then we're going to have Abhishek. So at this point, I want to put you over to Bhadra Prabhu. Thank you very much. Lord Jagannath Balis Bhadra Devi Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.